It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. Got Jim Kaiser in talking about the man wanting to make sure that, you know, your son doesn't become a man and he becomes a drone. I mean, you know, that's what it comes down to. So what we're going to do is summarize what we did in the last hour real quick, because it kind of all dovetails into what we're doing now. We were talking about, you know, grassroots or AstroTurf. You know, what's going on with this thing? You got millions of people showing up. You know, there's got to be some grassroots in there somewhere. But you have the AstroTurf part is when you got the R's and the D's, they'll say what it is. You know, the left will say, oh, it's just bunch of gun-toting, you know, satisfied kind of, you know, right-wing Clear Channel Fox people. And Fox will say, yeah, they're all ours, and they want this or that or whatever it is, okay? And then the people are going, who are you guys? You know, I know thee not, okay? I don't have nothing to do with y'all. And they have their own signs and their own message and their own stuff, and that won't get out except through YouTube, because the revolution is not going to be televised. But it's going to be YouTubed all to hell, okay? I knew that was coming a long time ago. So now we're sitting here and we're going, all right, what was one of the things they're complaining about? Well, it's overreaching government authority into their lives in various fill-in-the-blank way. But one of the things is this forced vaccination thing. I mean, this is coming. In Massachusetts, it was like $1,000 a day fine. You know, for you not doing it. And they got these actual metal bracelets. All this stuff is starting to come out. We have one of the stories up there is someone in the government is kind of doing this YouTube thing saying, hey, man, we did exercises in California, and people that refuse, the refuseniks, I mean, this is like Russia, the people that refuse to get vaccinated, we got a place for them to sit down, be quarantined. And the laws are such that if you are a threat because you didn't get quarantined, you don't got your little bracelet, you're getting hauled off to Hiskow. Wow. So, I claim my jurisdiction. You know, you can sit there and claim all your jurisdiction all you want and this and coming up to my property line. Now we can go through the property line. We can go up to the door. Oh, we can just kick in the door. Oh, we don't have to give you a warrant. You know, we kind of a secret kind of wiretap, but they do all that. But can I claim my skin? I claim my skin. Can I be inside my body?
You know, I just got something to say that it bothered me. You know, my wife, she supports me. And
this is Jet Lacey.
This is Jet. I'm here. You know, the board operator. I'm sorry. My wife told me yesterday that if it gets down...
And your wife's a nurse and you were a nurse too.
That's right. And my wife said, if it gets down to that, dude, you're taking the shot. And I was like, I don't know about that. She goes, you're not going to be taken away because you're not willing to take the flu shot. And I was like, oh, my God, I really still got some work to do on my wife over here.
You know, and because she's in a position to where in the healthcare industry, they're going to make her do it, you know, or you lose your job. You know, she's not going to do it, and you not.
Yeah, that's when we went out in the boat the other day. That's what she said to all of us. She's like, she was worried that her employer was going to force people to take the shots or get fired.
And she's probably right. You know, so what do you do? Well, I tell you one thing that you do when they're forcing shots on your children, because, you know, you're talking about these psychotropic drugs on a young mind that's not even gone through puberty yet, or heck, is getting ready to. You know, Lord knows what happens. You mix all this stuff with the hormones of a teenager. That's just damn. You know, I'd be afraid. Heck, I don't want to give them soda pop. You know, I had two boys, and don't do it, man. Not the corn syrup. You know, so it is. It's really a scary thing. Now that they're wanting to do it to us, they're treating us like children. It's the same thing. We are like children. As a father, what do you do to you? Where's that line? How do you determine that you're the father? Where does that happen? What decision do you have to make? We'll find out when we come back here on Declare Your Independence.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and you don't even need to do it with me. You know, how do you declare your independence with you? Right, you know, can I declare my independence all by myself? Yes, you can. It's real simple. You go, I declare my independence. See how easy that was? And you don't even need a government form. Very, 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 very simple. Now, on this vaccination thing, you know, it's like, the article is put up by Andrew Stremek. He had this article that was, he's referencing a bunch of other articles, and he gives you a lot of links in there. And what it's talking about is that I know maybe you're saying they can't force vaccinate you and make you get on the bus, but perhaps you should check out some new state laws and regulations found here, and he has links listed at Infowars.com is one place, and then some others, which state that people in these states can be quarantined and sent to detention centers for as long as they are considered a risk or threat. And this can also mean forced vaccination by court order, and their precedent was set with children. We get a court order, we are going to psychotropically alter the mind of your youngin because it is not in compliance with the wishes of the man. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Now, of course, they had support from his mother that, you know what, you want him sitting in the class all day and there and staring straight ahead and, you know, his eyes 5 degrees above the horizon, 5,000 miles away, yes, sir. You know, well, I like that too. You know, we'll give him an extra dose after school. You know, so this is what was going on. So finally, you get to the point to where you're in a situation to where you're before a judge. You're in court, and she's going, he won't, you know, give him the medication that these shiny badgers over here have determined that he must have in order to comply with blah, 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 which is, of course, the same people that pay the judge's salary, you know, sure, as the man. So, so they say, you know what, if you don't do it, you're going to lose custody. So then you get to where you have kind of the supervised custody. So tell me about that.
Right. I went through seven months of that. I got to visit him every weekend for a couple hours. I had to pay $50 an hour to see him and sit in a little room with him.
So $400 a month or $450 or something like that on average. $400 and something a month.
I'd see him 2 or 3 hours at a time on the weekends and sometimes
right, so
Saturday
bucks.
And Sunday. So it was big money every weekend.
You know, so this
it was
is
thousands of dollars over the 7 months that I
okay, so thousands of dollars so that you can sit with it. So it's kind of like a deterrent for you to be able to spend time with
right,
him, of course.
Right.
So you're sitting there, plus I'm sure you got to pay, you know, child support and all this other stuff and everything. So you're sitting there and you're going, we have this time with my son, and how far away is a representative of the court or the state or something sitting from you?
It's a 12 by 12 room. So there's a couch and there's a desk that they sit at and they take notes and go over everything that we say so they can send those reports back to the judge.
You just sit there and talk to your son in this 12 by 12 room with a government agent there?
Exactly.
Well, how'd you get out of that?
Well, we had after that 7 months, we had another hearing in our custody case, and you know, the judge looked at the reports, and you know, everything went good. I wasn't talking about anything inappropriate. I wasn't talking about the case. I wasn't, you know, and it was good. They said I was a good father and all this, and yada yada yada. And so the judge said,
"Okay." You sat quietly in the back of the room.
The judge says, "Okay, we're going to give you another chance."
Another chance to what? To give him drugs?
Another chance to see him unsupervised. But we're going to change the custody where I now have him every other weekend, unsupervised. But I need to give him his drugs. If I don't give him his drugs, I'm going to lose him. I'm going to lose all my parenting rights. Gone.
Wow.
So for, I guess it was about 6 months, maybe a little more, I had that unsupervised, you know, every other weekend visitation. And I flat out did not give him his drugs, and I just absolutely refused. And we went to court again. Actually, we were supposed to go to court again on May 29th. I already knew the outcome of what was going to happen on May 29th.
Did you give him his drugs? Nope. All right. Well, you ain't dad no more.
Right. Custody was over for me on May 29th. So on May 29th, we were boogie boarding in Florida.
So you said, you know what? We're done.
We're done. I'm out of here. I'm not gonna allow the state to poison my kid like this.
Okay. So you make the decision. I would imagine Ben was aware of this decision.
We talked about it before we left, so he knew exactly what was going on.
Well, what was his take on this whole thing?
You know what? I'm not going to say anything at this point.
Okay, so this is, there are news reports, you know, when you got stopped at a traffic stop and they found out who you were and made the links and all this kind of stuff, that your son was like, I don't want to go back.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm good. And one thing that was, another thing that was interesting was a comment by your wife of how much he had grown. You know, tell us about the physical changes.
It was amazing when he was on these drugs. There was a little bit of growth in the second year. The first year he grew nothing, not even a millimeter, no growth whatsoever, and he lost 6 pounds over that first year on the drugs.
And he's a small kid already.
Yeah, the second year there was a tiny bit of growth, but no real weight gain. Well, when I had him, I don't want to say how much. I want it all confirmed with doctor's records before I say how much. But he grew a lot off the drugs. You know, I mean, his body just wanted to grow. His body wanted to do stuff that the drugs just weren't allowing him to do. So once I got him off, he just sprouted up and put on a lot of weight.
Have you talked to his mother since this all happened?
No, nope, there's a restraining order now. I'm not allowed to. Not allowed to talk to her or to him.
Now, I would imagine over the past few months while you were gone, you were able to communicate your reasonings and feelings and with him, and he's probably got his own understanding of the relationship you guys have.
Sure, sure.
Is that going to sustain while he's on drugs at her place?
I think so. There's a bond that will never go away no matter what.
All the reason enough to do what you did. But
sure.
You know, the one thing that, how long, when they, well, tell us about the arrest. I mean, well, it doesn't really matter. The traffic stopped you, you know, now we know who you are and where's the kid, and he's with your roommate at, you know, your apartment. They go and take him into custody, and I'm sure the mother, oh, there he is, boom, she flies in, gets him, takes him back home. All right. So hopefully, I mean, he was with people that, you know, he knew, trusted, you know, his mom's coming. It's probably not too traumatic for him. It wasn't a picnic.
It was traumatic. He didn't want to go, but it wasn't the worst thing. It was his mom picking him up.
Now, these drugs that he takes, are they just taken in pill form or an injection?
They're in pill form.
Okay, so I would imagine, you know, he's near death of his 3-4 months without being on his drugs. We got to get him on the drugs.
Oh, that's the way she thought of it. I mean, she tells him, you need to take this medicine. You're going to get really sick if you don't take this medicine. That's who she is. I mean, she's been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. So her whole life is just, you know, drugs on top of drugs on top of drugs. So she just thinks that this is the way we're supposed to normally live. That's all she's ever known, and that's what she wanted for her kid.
I didn't know that. That changes a lot of things. Okay.
It does, and it started to get really ugly. It wasn't just this Adderall that he was on. That Adderall made him stay up all night. When he first got on it, he just couldn't sleep through the night, and she recognized that as a problem, so she went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, no problem, we'll just give him sleeping pills.
Oh,
so his whole life now is, you know, uppers and downers, stimulants and depressants. He's drugged 24 hours a day. One drug on top of the next.
You know, I got right here a card. You know, I have like these little 3x5 cards that I take notes on and so on. And I remember this one. I was writing it down. Adderall is an amphetamine salt.
Correct.
Okay. Now, I had Fran Bankley. She's a pharmacist friend of mine that's in Indiana now. Used to live here. And I asked her. I had her on the show.
I listened, right?
Yeah, we were talking about that. And she, you know, I'd have to go re-listen to it. But she was like, you know, this is not stuff you want to be giving kids.
No, this is stuff that you or I would go to prison for if we had it unprescribed.
This is bad. You know, this is, yeah, Jack, go ahead.
You know, there's actual methamphetamine in there. It's a Adderall. I'm a former ICU nurse. It's a mixed salts. of amphetamine. You have dextroamphetamine, you have simple amphetamine, and you have methamphetamine in this, you know, all mixed into one neat little package. And it's an extended release pill as well, a lot of them. You know, they have both kinds, like a regular acting, but most time, because people don't want to take numerous pills throughout the day, they give an extended release, and that's why, you know, he was having a hard time sleeping.
Wow. Okay, so you're faced with this. You're his father. You know the difference between, you know, Ben on drugs and, you know, this is Ben on drugs and this is Ben off drugs.
Right, and it's such a huge, huge difference.
But they don't care.
They don't care as long
as now, did you have these conversations with the court? I mean, did you go, look, you're poisoning the freaking kid, man.
Yes, I absolutely tried. But, you know, they say, well, you know what? His mom says he needs drugs. His teacher says he needs drugs. His doctor says he needs drugs. Who are you to say he doesn't need drugs? Well, I'm his dad. You know, who are you?
Exactly. Who are you, man? Okay, so dad is like, you know, faced with this decision. You know, the goose steppers come up and say, you shall whatever. And you go, okay, or not. So what'd you do?
I chose the or not. You know, I drew a line and said, this is a line you don't cross. And
you had to have talked to Ben about, you know, that someday you guys may be caught.
Yeah, we talked a lot about that. And again, I got to watch what I say.
I mean,
here,
giant surprise that someday there's going to be somebody knocking on the door. So he was, and you talked about, you know, well, this is what's going to happen, and you know, I guess I can only give my view on it is that if I was in this situation, I would be remiss to not have taken this action to let my son know for the rest of his life how much I had a concern for his health and well-being.
Sure.
I mean, you know, and I'm, you know, to not do it would have, on certain types like us, would have created such regret that anything would have been better than that. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Don't be a victim of sudden cardiac arrest due to inflammation of the arterial walls. Our hemp foods are anti-inflammatory and gluten-free, and can greatly benefit the health of the human body. By calling 908-691-2608 or visiting hempusa.org, you can benefit from this wonderful natural food source. Our customers are also purchasing this natural food for long-term storage, camping, survival, and emergency food rations. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org today. HempUSA.org believes that now is the time to plan for the future, and food will be your greatest asset. People spend money on all kinds of things, but our warning is prepare now for food shortages in the future. So don't delay. Call today, 908-691-2608, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
You get your balls to the wall, balls to the wall. You get your balls to the wall.
And declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m., 1 p.m., here on freedomsphoenix.com studios in Phoenix, Arizona, and we have our friend Jim Kaiser. And one thing we were talking about was regret. You know, I mean, and this is what's going to come down to. You're going to be faced with this yourself. You're going to be up to the checkpoint, and you're going, oh, yeah, that Pastor Anderson, you know, he's all crazy and everything. He should have just complied, you know, or died or whatever. And I'm going, you know, these people, there's always, I call them mind canaries, okay? When the workers would go into the mine doing coal or whatever, or gold, silver, whatever, they're in deep mine, you know, they didn't have sensors. You know, little alarm things going up, monoxide's too high or something. They took canaries. They get these little canary down there. When it flopped over, it's time to get out of the mine. You know, we need to exchange some air, do something, because, you know, a canary just died, all right? So you call them mine canaries. And what happens is when you have some people, when they first start getting people that start resisting authority, they're going no, and they get tased, or they get, you know, they run away with their son, you know, because get away from the man, you're going to put needles in them. And when you do this kind of stuff, you I see them as precursors to a much larger movement, to you know, 2 million people descending on Washington D.C. I mean, this is what happens. Excuse me. So what I look at myself, you know, at what point do you want to make sure that you don't have regrets? Because if I'm on my deathbed, I know what's going to happen. You know, I'm going to be like satisfied with my life. I did my part. You know, I played good dad and husband, that kind of thing. And I don't want to be my last breath of some big regret. Regret would suck. You're on your last breath. You're dying. I mean, because that's the only thing that's going to matter then. Your last breath, your last thoughts going through your head is you're going to be, you know, I'm sad. You know, I did okay. I'm good. You know, I'm going out. You know, I raised my children. I didn't, you know, defame my name. I didn't abandon, you know, them. I didn't, you know, something. You know, I'm going to be, you know, satisfied, I hope. And the one thing I would hate would be a regret. Something as monumental as I allowed my 9-year-old son to be drugged by the government and turned into another kid. How could you not have last breath emotional pain and tragedy with that? That would be so sad. So sometimes, you know, people's courage is not a measurement of, you know, how brave or stupid they are. It's a measurement of how much they realize they couldn't live with themselves any other way. You know, to run into the blazing building to save your child or a kitten or whatever it is that motivates you is that, you know, would you be able to have a productive life, be able to live with yourself if you didn't? Is that really courage? A lot of people would say it is. You know, some people have this sense of sacrifice, and they called, you know, what? And I kind of, you know, why would people do, what is the motivating factor that would get me to do something like that? And you kind of train yourself in your mind on different circumstances when you step in front of the bullet, is that, and who you would do it for, is that you go, you know, would I be sad? Would I have my life full of regret every day because I didn't? And that's the kind of choice I think that I would be faced with in the circumstance that Jim was in. You have a choice. They're going to drug you, your child, or not, and you get to do something about it for as long as you can to at least show your child how much you love him, that you're willing to risk, because he's not risking, and he gets to be off the drugs. He gets to go to Florida with dad. You know, he's enjoying himself, learning, in homeschool. A lot of the people, the reports that we have from the people there that you work for and so on, they thought you were a great dad. Ben was a great adjusted kid. Had, you know, they're going, you know, I can't believe this is, you know, a problem. He blah, blah, blah. Had a lot of support, okay? So the thing is that now it comes down to who has the authority to do what? Well, this needs to be adjudicated. We need to pay attention to this. We need to make sure that Ben's welfare is taken into account as opposed to the welfare of a tyrannical government that really is coming down with their stake in the game is that they be listened to. That I am the supreme authority over your child. You know why? Because I got a piece of paper here that says so. So I'm going, okay. So we deal with that. He makes it. I'm sure it was a hard decision. You know, we didn't know you were going to do this. I mean, you had talked about what you're going to do, what you're going to do, and then all of a sudden you just did it. You know, right. So you're gone. Well, we kind of knew, and it hit the news. You know, man absconds, abducts child, everything. Of course, you know, and then they tell you it's a dad. But you know, we knew what the real story was. So we're putting it out. You know, yep, he's gone. You know, he didn't. This is why. And then you got caught. And then Andrea found out. Garcia, she's a Campaign for Liberty girl that you know and one of the activists. And she told you, I guess, if this ever broke, that she'd make sure that, you know, the story got out. So the story was is that you were arrested. And it hits local TV news. We got him. Okay. So tell me about the arrest. What happened?
Well, you know, I got pulled over for it was real stupid. I bought a car and didn't transfer the registration into my name. Tags were good for a while, so I thought I'd be okay with that. The cop pulled him back at me and just ran my plates, and turns out that the person I bought the car from had sent in a form saying that you know, they had sold the car and they got the credit back on the plates, so my plates were no longer any good.
So it's time to pull you over.
Time to pull me over and find out what's going on.
Yeah, so they pulled you over, and we'll find out what happened when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and sitting in special guest Jim Kaiser. And he got pulled over after taking his son to Florida, and let's see how the cop handled it. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and in studio Jim Kaiser. He's of local fame, you know, for the man that took his son out of state. He went from Arizona to Florida because I guess he missed humidity. And he went there and with his son and to get him away from the court that was mandating that he medicate him with Adderall, which is an amphetamine. And it just was messing up his kid. And he knew, and he's like, nah, nope. And they go, if you don't, you ain't dad anymore. You know, you're his mother and the court is, and you don't get to play. And he's like, oh, so I don't get to be father anymore. I'm going to lose my child. No, by the way, while you got him, you're going to be, you know, mind-altering and poisoning his brain with these chemicals. Let me think for a second what I should do. So you make the decision. You know, that's not going to happen. You get there. You purchased a car here that had like a year left on the license plate. But she, you know, sends into the registration, which you can do. You say, hey, man, I don't have it anymore. It's not my responsibility. This guy bought it. You know, have a nice day. And some officers going behind you. Now they just run everybody. I mean, it's just, you know, they even got it to where they have cars that just go by and it just automatically blips, you know, in a computer immediately. They got dragnet going on, you know. And, of course, this is exactly why they'll justify it. Oh, we got to get dads that take sons, you know.
Sure.
So they run the plate and all of a sudden, you know, the popo's behind you with the lights going and pick it up there. What happened?
Blue lights on and I thought, well, game over. I pulled over and I felt bad about it. I mean, I had to lie to the guy. I gave him a false name, told him I didn't have a social security number or a driver's license or registration or any of that. And you know, the guy knew I was lying to him. I mean, it was real obvious. So he was trying to figure out who I was. And next thing I know, there's a dozen cops on the scene and they're all trying to find out who I was. And I just wasn't saying anything. I came up with a little story and I stuck to it. I got to say something about this cop, though. You know, when you do a lot of activism in your life, you kind of meet a lot of cops. I got no problem saying most of the cops I've met in my life have been world-class jerks. This guy was kind of the exception. You know, even though he knew
he's dealing with some kind of something.
He knew he was dealing with something. He knew I was lying to him. He was real suspicious of me. But at the same time, he treated me with complete respect. Didn't talk down to me.
Well, maybe that's why, because he's afraid.
No, he was just the coolest cop ever. And I'll tell you, I'll jump forward a little bit. You know, once they did find out who I was, and they brought me into the, investigator, I told the cop, hey man, I'm sorry, I had to lie to you. And he says, no, you know, I understand under the circumstances, I know why you did what you did. And I kind of let him in on the story a little bit. And when I was in the back of a car, of his car, we had a good talk. We talked about what it means to be a libertarian. We talked about the freedom issue. We talked about Ron Paul. We talked about a lot of stuff. And he really got it. You know, he was just a good guy. And, you know, when he finally left me, I said, you know, if you want to know any more about this case, just Google my name. And, he said, is it all bad stuff or is there any good stuff? I said, no, it's all bad stuff. And he says, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I want to remember you as a good guy. But then it got even better. When I checked out, when I was when they released me from the jail, and I get my clothes, and I know there's going to be media out there and all this, and I wasn't looking forward to it because when I got pulled over, I was dirty, I was filthy, and, you know, a long, hard day of work, all sweaty and stinky and all that, and I just wasn't looking forward to putting on these filthy clothes and going out and seeing the media. Well, when I opened up my bag of clothes, right on the top of the bag was this new white cotton shirt wrapped in plastic, a little gift from the cop.
Oh!
How cool is that? So, you know,
brings a tear to my eye.
I want to say something. This guy's name is Travis Mandel. So Travis,
you just got him fired.
If you're, if he's listening, I want to say that, you know, what he did, his actions meant more to me than you can possibly imagine. And wow,
what a simple, gracious thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need more cops on the street like this guy. The world would be a better place.
A human being. Mm-hmm. And regardless of whatever he would think about, I mean, you know, what harm could a white shirt do? I mean,
and it's white. You know, he could have picked any color. Why did he go with white? White, what does white symbolize? You know,
very, wow, man, I wipe a tear. The thing is that I can understand a lot of this comes down to him acting in his own self-interest, too. I'm sure he did this because he had the opportunity to. He knew what effect it would have, and he didn't want to have the regret.
Right, right.
You know, he's like, he loves his son. You know, they're wanting to force medicate. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, he does his job. I arrested him. Now I'm just going to let him go. Now I arrested the guy. We danced, but gosh darn, give the boy a shirt. So then you put on the shirt, you get your clothes on, you're feeling, you know, wow, that was pretty nice.
I was feeling good. You know, the shirt actually made me feel good. It made me, it was kind of,
kind
of a warm, fuzzy feeling when I walked out of there. It's like, everything's going to be okay with this.
Okay, so you walk out of the, you're in what, some county jail or
right,
city jail?
Broward County Jail.
So you come out, I'm sure that wasn't a picnic.
Not a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, county jails aren't fun. But so you're sitting in the holding cells of 40 billion guys up against a wall.
Well,
I
was in there for 4 days, so I got to the point where I was in the regular population there.
And, swapping stories with the bad guys?
Yeah.
A lot of the guys in there, I mean, are they really bad, bad, bad guys? Are most of them bad?
No,
or some of them are,
what?
I didn't pay
it
my
was,
auto insurance?
It was kind of funny because a majority of the people that were in there with me were in there on drug crimes. And I'm in there.
I mean, what kind of drug crimes? Selling to little children?
Well,
smoking
some,
the,
some of them got
the dope?
Some of them got selling, and some of them just ended up getting pulled over, and they had a little something on them. And, I'm
so how's that drug war thing working
out? I'm in there because I'm the anti-drug.
Oh, that's a good chapter in the movie. Hey, I'm here because I didn't want my kid to take drugs, you know, and I wouldn't let the government force their drug. Oh, their drugs are okay. You know, you can get meth as long as you can get a prescription and even a court mandate. You know, there's some guys going, wow, the government, they make them take drugs? You know, well, I'm signing up, man. You know, where can I get that? So, yeah, I know that's very ironic. So anyway, so it's time for you to leave. And how long did you think you're going to be in jail forever? Or, you know,
I thought I was done. I thought it was game over for me. It was a $50,000 bond, and I didn't have that. And the way the phone system works in that jail, it was just impossible for me to contact anybody. But once I finally, I made some good friends in Florida.
How'd you come up with $50,000? Your ex-wife posted for you?
Yeah. I called a good friend over there and told her. I didn't even ask. I said, you know what? They got me in here on a $50,000 bond, and she said, "All right, we'll have you out of there today."
Wow.
So yeah, I've got some good friends that I owe big time right now.
But you're a scumbag that takes your kid away from the man.
They knew, man.
You violated a court order. You're a scumbag.
They knew who I was. They knew what kind of dad I was. And even though I had
well, maybe it's because you did that.
You know, I lied to him about my name and my custody situation and all that. But you know, when they figured out what was going on and they had talked to Ben, you know, they're the ones that Ben was with when the cops came in. So they got it. They figured out what was going on, and they took my side, and they stood behind me.
Wow. Amazing. Well, you know why? Because Jim's a good guy against the man defending the son. You know, and you know what this does? It's what a lot of things that, you know, the revolutionaries do is that they set a standard. You know, now it's not only is it easier for other fathers and mothers to do the same kind of thing, it's almost a requirement to their own personal sanity. You know, they whatever feelings and emotions they repress to give them the ability to turn their kid over to the, you know, it's kind of the Sophie's Choice thing. You know, do I leave? Do I do this? I do that. I remember in the movie Meryl Streep, it has the Nazi, you know, this whole thing, the whole movie centered in the book Sophie's Choice, revolves around the decision. She's on the train platform. They're putting the kids in the cattle cars. I mean, it's Nazi Germany, and man, they're divvying everybody up. And an SS officer comes up, puts a gun to her small daughter and her small son's head. You can kind of pick, which one do you want? And she wouldn't pick. And he's going to shoot, you know, he cocks his gun or something like that. And she goes, okay, and she grabs her son. And, and that regret that she turned her daughter, and of course she lost both. I mean, you know, it's kind of, but they put you in those kinds of positions that you have to choose. And if you haven't thought this through before or come up with your other option of no, and you just, you know, you put a fist through the nose of the guy, or you run off, or you let him shoot you, or you do any other thing that they don't expect you to do, they expect you to make a decision. We have given you these two choices. These are the choices that you have. You are going to comply with the court order, or you're not going to be father anymore. These are your choices. These are your choices! And then you go, I got another choice. You know? They don't expect that. You know, oftentimes, they don't. They believe you to be weak, servile population that they control with a piece of paper.
Well, because most people are. And why is that? Why are people so scared to stand up?
Drugs!
To draw the line and say, no, you don't fluoride! Cross this line.
You know, freaking genetically altered food. I mean, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. It's television. It's programming. It's something. But it's changing. Now, this internet thing, man, they didn't anticipate, you know, that. A whole other generation going, you know what? Yeah, you can take your cattle over there and do whatever you want, but we're done, man. You know, we're going galt. Gone galt. We're just not going to support the system that's devouring us. And that is something that they can't. Then you have to be slaves. I mean, then they have to actually start getting out the whip. They have to start cracking it. You know, my son went and bought the movie 300, The Spartans, and so on. And we have seen it before, but he just wanted to, it was on sale or something at Blockbuster, and he picked it up, and we watched it last night. And it's a good movie. You know, it's against, you know, the freedom of the individual against, you know, the oppressive whatever. And what happened, you had the Persian army coming, and they bottlenecked them in an area to where they all their numbers didn't matter. As long as these 300, you could just, you know, keep killing them as they came. And this is a, you know, very famous, you know, true story, you know, the Spartans defending against the Persian army. And what happened was, after you get the first shock troops coming in and they're all dead and laying, and they keep piling them up and throwing them over the cliff and building the wall with the dead bodies, and they just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming, sooner or later you have these slave drivers with whips, you know, cracking and killing their own troops to get them to go fight the Spartans. And that's what happens. As you start doing this, you start, you know, creating even just PR casualties out of these people just by taking on the man, just by saying no, you set another standard. And you have people like this officer that gets in, he's at the tip of the spear enforcing this kind of stuff, and at least he felt bad enough he gave you a shirt. I mean, you know, these are the signs. These are the hopeful signs.
Sure.
This is what, you know, because you got to overcome this mentality. You know, who are the good and the bad guys? Are those won't be left alone? Those won't leave them alone. And when you have this realization, this battle is not going to be determined by some black robe taxpayer funded I support the system judge that has the unlimited authority and resources of the man that's going to say, you're not dad anymore, we're going to force medicate this son. And you know, when the public goes, yeah, no, that doesn't, you know, regardless of what happens. Regardless of what happens, he's going to be of age within 10 years, you know, 9 years. And during that time, you know, it's going to be, we are here to make sure that this young man has access to the internet somewhere, someplace, sometime. He's going to be, you know what? You know, dad was pretty cool. What's that worth to you?
That's worth everything. I mean, no matter what happens with me, he's going to know where dad was for him.
Dad was there. Are you there for your kids? Now, where's your line? How far are you willing to go? You know, this forced vaccination thing, they're doing checkpoints and stuff now. I mean, this is where this is going. We've known this, and it's not going to be, everybody's going, oh, I can't believe it, a big surprise. No, it's not. Seriously, if this is a surprise to you, you haven't been paying attention. They are setting up an infrastructure, have been, since, wanted to do it, you know, forever, okay? I mean, since I remember in Clinton administration, they were going on where excuse didn't get to have the checkpoint kind of thing. And so now we're in a situation to where they already have these checkpoints, and they're starting to replicate them. And the ACLU is kind of doing this 100-mile from the border of free speech. That's 80% of the population. 100% from our coast and borders, 80% of our population. And they're going to be, it already started. That's what this Pastor Anderson thing was all about. You will submit yourself to search. You will submit yourself. You're traveling along, no suspicion of anything other than you don't want to be questioned. Not allowed. You know, and oh, by the way, what's one of their questions going to be? Did you get your vaccination? No. Well, you got to go over to the special trailer over there. You're a threat. You're a threat now because you ain't complying to the man and let him put the elixir of poison into your body. Then what? At what point do you resist? And that's one thing I gave the speech in Prescott, you know, you got to say it right. And and one of the points I was bringing up is that, you know, what happens when you finally get to the point that you're going, can I go just be free somewhere else? Does it have to be here? Can I go somewhere else? But where is anybody anywhere else? I mean, you know, we're kind of the last light on the hill. And the thing is that when you start to become a grandfather, you get invested multi-generational. You know, I got parents. My wife still has her grandmother. We got great-grandmother. You know, she like was 100 years old. We have her, and she's still got her mind right. Boy, she's all over it. And she took my advice last year. A year ago, took all her money out of the stock market. Who's the hero now? I'm going, yeah, great-grandma, because she had been around enough. She saw this cycle. She'd seen it happen. Yeah, he's right. I've seen this happen before. I'm going to go ahead and take the old son-in-law. We're going to take a bunch of that stuff out. Now I don't know what they did with it, but they had the money. I mean, they got it now. They probably went back and bought back in. It's going to get taken again. You know, so I'm like, you know, don't do it. Don't follow sucker rallies. But, you know, buy silver. You know, I'm trying to get them to do that. But what happened was is that you have this multi-generational investment, great-grandmothers, grandmothers, children, spouses, grandkids. At what point do you get to where, I guess this is the battlefield. Now it's here. How do you fight it? What do you do? A lot of it's just passive. Now you just say, I'm not playing. Now I'm just going to avoid. I'm doing whatever. What Jim does, he takes his son. No, you're not allowed to force medicate my kid. You know, and you had this discussion with Ben. I know you've been talking with him about when you were here and so on. I mean, we could sit there and see the difference. So I'm going, okay, now you're in a situation to where this is going to be adjudicated in some way. Ben's with his mother. You know, I'm sure she's telling him all kinds of evil and bad things about whatever. And so we'll get to what? Is there a criminal trial? Is there what happens?
Right. There's a... The charge at the moment is just custodial interference. I'm not sure what they're going to.
Well, what's the penalty for that death? I mean, what?
It's a felony, and it's hard to say what. You know, looking online, it could be as much as 3.5 years. So I don't know. That I'm sure that's not going to be the only charge. That's what they.
Yeah, they'll make up whatever. So. Right. Okay, so you have a and that's a criminal hearing.
Correct.
Okay, so you're do you have an attorney?
Not yet, but I'm working on a couple here.
Okay, so you go in there and they have a trial. Say, did you or did you not take your son? Yep, you're guilty. Done.
We'll see.
All right. Well, I'm just, you know, I'm wondering how this is going to play out. Well, we're gonna pay attention. We're gonna pay attention. I know you got a strategy. Maybe you'll share it with us. We'll find out in just a little bit here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, in the studio, Jim Kaiser, keeping his kid safe from the man.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
In constant sorrow through his day.
I got Jim Kaiser in here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, and, you know, constant sorrow. Are we in constant sorrow? Man, we got a lot of reasons to be. But you know what really comes out and makes me feel, it's all worthwhile, is that you have just pockets of inspiration. And that's a lot of what Freedom's Phoenix and Activists and Revolution, everything we do, what I've been doing for almost 20 years, is that sometimes you need someone just to inspire. You know, just to break the mold, just to be the tip of the spear of resistance, you know, be able to be the martyr. Take the beatings as you're burning your real ID chip. I mean, you know, whatever. There's always that one person that's, and it's always at the right time. It's kind of like in V for Vendetta, you know, when the detective goes, I just got a feeling. I mean, I know what's going to happen. It's going to be somebody's going to do something stupid. They're going to overreact. They're going to, you know, amp it up. They're going to, you know, and it's just going to be the people are going to go, no. You know, and you see a couple million people swarming Washington, D.C. They're starting to realize there are limits. You have our black AR-15 friend, Chris. You know, you can't get away from this. You know, nobody in the revolution, these young kids, you know, race is so non-issue. You see a bunch of these pictures, you know, you have minorities at the Washington, D.C. thing. You know, you think, you know, all black people are for socialism. I mean, that's what they want you to think, you know, but that's not it. You know, this whole thing is not working out for the bad guys. They're not, it's not going well. And they try to use the legitimized force of government. They think it's legitimate for the children because the children need to be force medicated. And then dads say, no. So you're going to, you know, criminal prosecution. They're going to want to put your butt in jail. It's going to get Jim's money. They're going to want to put your butt in jail.
That's their plan.
So are they going to, you willingly going to serve time? You're like, hey, man, you know, whatever.
Well, what's willingly? I got to do what I got to do.
Wow. You know, is there an opportunity for you to ever talk to your, I mean, the court now has to give you permission to talk to your son.
Right. And that'll happen. I'm going to, you know, work on the custody case while I'm working on the criminal case and see what I can do there. I mean, it'll happen sometime. I hope it's sooner than later.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see because, you know, I find that decades just slip by. You know, certainly when you have kids, man, it just whizzes by. As when he finally becomes of age, you know, there may be a time lag, or maybe it's my 18th birthday, man, I'm going to go see dad, you know, or maybe he's 16, he's driving his car and he just happens to wind up at dad's house. You know, I mean, there's going to be, you know, this kind of stuff it's just going to happen.
And I don't think it's going to take that long. I'm confident that, you know, within the next year, I'll be able to see him again.
And you're hoping, I mean, it's just so amazing. Once a kid goes, and I tell you, this is a very important age because whatever you kind of have a child, whatever their personality and their experiences and their upbringing is, send them in a certain way. Once they hit puberty and the hormones start locking in their brain, you know, that's pretty much how they are, you know, forever.
Right.
Now, if you don't get them, you don't get them their mind right before they hit puberty, you're not going to fix it later. You know. So at least he knows dad loved him enough to risk his freedom. And I can't emphasize that enough, is that he has full knowledge that his father loves him, and that will sustain him.
Sure. He knows. There's no question that he knows, and there's nothing that's going to take that away.
So you have a lot to look forward to as, you know, he becomes of age. You guys
absolutely
are going to rekindle. So I'm not worried about it. But between now and then, you know, I'm hoping he's not without a good father, you. Thanks for coming in, Jim.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you guys got to share this story because it's so indicative of what's going on now. It's such a good example of what we have to contend with. Declare your independence. Be free. It's between the ears.